Blog Talk Radio.
I'm on time, man.
Yeah. Welcome once again to Blog Talk Radio, talking sports with the 12th man. It's your boy, Andre Peterson, with my man Robert Ford once again. Welcome you guys to another episode. Today is August 18th, 2011. Say what's up, Rob. What's going on?
What's going on, people? Football is back.
Robert doesn't sound too excited. I don't know. We'll see if we'll get him awake.
Gotta love it, baby.
There it is. Real quick before the show, I promised the wife you got to give her a shout-out. Happy birthday to my beautiful wife, Marcy. So she may be listening in, but what do you
happy birthday, Marcy.
That's right, giving her some love. Anyway, man, football is back as Robert
thank you for keeping Andre
earlier.
Out of trouble. I know it's a hard job.
Hey, you know, there's a lot of things keep me in trouble, and yes, she does do a good job of doing that. So, without further ado, we have a lot of good topics to discuss. As I mentioned, Robert did say football is back. Preseason was great to see that. I was kind of concerned that there was going to be some injuries, but everything went pretty well. So we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about a couple of highlights from last week, the first set of preseason games. We're going to talk about rookie quarterbacks that are going to make a big impact, and we'll see if we can jump into some NFL division leaders. And if we have time, we may get a chance to jump into SEC and ACC, some college football talk as well. But with
especially since we have some, especially since we're LSU and Georgia Tech fans here.
Here we go. Well, more for Robert since the SEC's been doing good, and obviously. You got to talk about some Miami stuff too, not to beat that dead horse, but what's been going on with Evan Shapiro and how the ACC not looking good for the University of Miami there. So, anyway, if we have time, we'll jump into that too. But real quick, let's talk about some highlights of the preseason. Any games or any people that you want to kind of acknowledge, Rob, going into this first week after everything was over.
Well, I would say, I know we're. Both of our teams are in the NFC South here, and I would have to say one team I was impressed with in week one was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I know they went on the road and kind of shut out Kansas City 25-0. And, it's hard to put a lot of stock in preseason games. You know, I think it's still nice to win, but I don't think, it's a deal breaker. You know, I think you just want to see how certain guys look and things of that nature. But from what I saw, Josh Freeman played well in that game. And they have some young guys on defense that really stood out in that game. From Adrian okay. Claiborne, a rookie, Mason Foster, middle linebacker, third-round pick, played well. And they look like a team that has a lot of young talent that might be pretty good for a long time. I'm not going to say they're going to win the NFC South, but I was kind of impressed with them week one. But, tonight they come out and they get hammered by New England. And as we speak, New England is beating Tampa Bay 31-14. So Freeman not looking so good tonight. LeGarrette Blount not looking so good tonight. So, like I said, people, you can't really go by preseason.
Yeah, like you said, you're never as good. You're never as good as you thought. You're never as bad as well either. But go ahead, continue.
Yeah. So, and I guess that kind of leads me to New England. I mean, last week, Tom Brady didn't play. And, they just straight out destroyed Jacksonville with 47-12. And now they're whipping up on Tampa Bay. Last week, Tom Brady didn't even play. Ryan Hoyer, as well as Ryan Mallett, played well for them last week. Ryan Mallett was very impressive. And also another guy that stood out last week for the Patriots was Stephen Ridley, third-round pick running back out of LSU. I got to throw my Fighting Tigers out there. And, Stephen Ridley had two touchdowns and a receiving touchdown. He had two rushing touchdowns and a receiving touchdown. And you got to say those people up there in New England know what they're doing as far as finding players. And two third-round picks really stood out, Ryan Mallett, Stephen Ridley, two SEC guys. And you and I had this conversation on yesterday, you know, teams developing quarterbacks, and they can eventually develop them and get value for them. And Bill Belichick, mark my words, will look like a genius for drafting Ryan Mallett in the third round. Because in a year or two, he'll be able to trade him and get a first or second round pick and a player for him.
The rich get richer, as always, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because I'm kind of like you. I'm kind of curious to see how Ryan Mallett plays. As you said he was impressive that first week. I'm going to try to catch the replay of Tampa Bay and see what's going on with that. But, as you know, we're a quarterback-driven league, so at this juncture, if Bill Belichick does a good job of developing Mallett, who knows? He may be, as you mentioned, a trading piece in the future, kind of like similar to what Philadelphia does.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of Philadelphia, I mean, week one, they go out and beat the Ravens 13-6. Michael Vick had a very impressive first series. We only played one series last week and looked very good. But then tonight, they come out and they're getting shellacked by Pittsburgh. Michael Vick throws three interceptions in the first half. And and I think last I saw, Pittsburgh was beating them 24-7. And was beating Philly 21-0 at halftime. And so Philly looked pretty – I'm sorry, Pittsburgh, they looked pretty well tonight. Ben Roethlisberger looked really good tonight as well for the Steelers. And Steelers, week one last week, they didn't play that well against the Redskins. The Redskins was physical and kind of beat them last week, but they look a lot better this week. And but, you know, once again, it's preseason, you know, can't put too much on wins or losses.
Yeah, and you wonder, too, like you said, if you know, a lot of the teams that were probably getting, you know, let's say like the Pittsburghs that were kind of had a tough go, maybe they weren't getting their legs underneath them, like they were just kind of you know, kind of getting used to practice, and maybe they were kind of taking it easier or something like that. You never really know what the purpose was because, you know, as you know, that was my concern that going into the season, that teams that you wouldn't see good football because of, you know, the lack of time before training camp. But, you know, obviously there's some teams that know the system that are going to do well, more of the veteran teams, and then you have some new teams with new coaching staffs that you know, may have some struggles, if you will. But, you know, I guess we'll kind of see how everything goes during the preseason, too, because, you know, New England doesn't look like they're missing the beat at all, obviously. So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to give away any of my future predictions, but, you know, New England is my AFC pick to go to the Super Bowl. And,
wow.
But we'll, you know, we can get to that later. Yeah.
Okay.
And I guess I don't know if there's anything else as far as week one. I don't know if you want to talk about our teams, the Saints and the Falcons from last week. If you got any comments on, you know, the way the Dirty Birds played last week or not.
I appreciate you letting me get some love in here. You know, obviously the biggest thing as Falcon fans is that we are, and I mentioned this to you before, that we are over ecstatic about the Julio Jones, him making an impact. You know, we're kind of, I'm cautiously optimistic due to the fact that, you know, I don't want to put too much on a rookie, if you will. And I still think that, you know, that Green Bay game has every Falcon fan, you know, kind of reeling. But we get to build up our defense, and I think the Falcons have said, hey, you know, we're going to try to outscore you. If we can't shut you down, we need to have a player or two that can, you know, kind of give this a big strike opportunity. So that's how we see a very good game for Julio, obviously. The starters did really well, even though we lost the game. So that's all we can expect. Now for you, obviously, let's talk about the Saints and kind of their drubbing of the 49ers. You know, I, obviously my father-in-law is a big 49er fan. I guess give a big shout-out to Dad. And it seems like are the Saints already in form, or were they just kind of? Do you think you ran into a team that wasn't expecting the blitzes and the play of the Saints, if you will?
Yeah, one thing I just want to make one comment. The little bit of I saw about the Falcons game last week, then we'll get on to the Saints. I will say that at the beginning of that game, the Falcons were definitely trying to get the ball to Julio Jones. I'm sure you've probably gone back and watched the film, even though you were out of town. And first couple of plays of the game, they were definitely trying to get the ball to Julio Jones' hands. So I definitely think they trying to showcase a lot of the skills to the fan base. And, you know, like this is the reason why we traded up to get him.
you make a move like that, you got to say, hey, you know, this guy's ready to go.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
they tried to run him on a deep out pattern, like first play of the game, did a reverse with him on, like, the next possession. And and I think that was kind of smart. I think you want to get the fan base kind of excited about him. And I mean, it's preseason, you know. I mean, why not just try to, you know, get the ball in his hands a little bit, to showcase him to the fans a little bit, get the fans excited. So, yeah, I just want to comment on that. I mean, I think that was kind of smart, you know, of doing that. And Julio Jones is a great blocking receiver, too. A lot of people don't talk about that. But that's something that's that Nick Saban wide receivers have that trait. You know, even when he was at LSU, wide receivers come, you know, when they leave, you know, they tend to also be great blocking receivers, too. And he's doing the same thing at Alabama.
And just to go to that point too, that's something I would love to hear your vantage point. Maybe moving on during the season about, you know, obviously you know a lot about Nick Saban working with being with, you know, with LSU and if you will, just kind of like how he develops players and how a lot of those players are getting ready for the NFL too, because he seems like he runs that pro style offense and very good teacher as far as the defensive backs too. So we'll get into that as we wrap up college football too, but just very curious to hear your remarks about his coaching style too, if you will.
Oh yes. I mean, you know, Bill Belichick. When Saban was at LSU, Bill Belichick was always going after his players because he knew they would be ready for the next level. And even guys that weren't drafted, like the Randall Gaze, and you know, Bill Belichick will sign those guys. And you know, Randall Gay turned out to be a starter for New England as an undrafted rookie free agent. And, and you know, even won the Super Bowl that year. And so, you know, being the guy's well-respected in the NFL, and he gets guys ready to play. I mean, and the Saints even seeing that a little bit with Mark Ingram right now. I mean, Ingram says, you know, these are – very similar plays we ran in Alabama. He said terminology is just a little different. And so he's seeing it, and as a result, he's having a great camp. And probably, you know, in my estimation, we'll get the bulk of the carries at the running back position. And it'll probably be the most utilized rookie for the Saints this year. You know, all the other rookies are being brought along a little slowly, including Cameron Jordan, who was picked slightly ahead of Mark Ingram. And but Ingram is the rookie that's shining. You know, he ran a little 14-yard touchdown run against the 49ers this past week. So the Alabama, you know, Nick Saban, he puts players into the pros. I mean, he may have four defensive players that might go in the first round of this upcoming draft. And then you throw in Trent Richardson, you might even have a fifth player or the running back. So they're loaded. I mean Andy does a great job coaching those guys up.
Yeah.
So,
wow. Okay, that was a big tangent for me. I apologize too, but you know I know you know a lot about that particular system too. So I'll let you keep going there. So.
Being an LSU fan, we kind of hate it a little bit, and you know, there are a lot of people where I guess we can get to the SEC a little bit later, but a lot of people thinking that Alabama-LSU game is whoever wins that game might even go to the national championship this year.
Wow.
So, that should be interesting. But, yeah, getting to the Saints and the 49ers, my personal take on the Saints is that the – Offensively, the Saints did not play that well, in my opinion. I mean, I know Drew Brees only threw four passes, but they were a little bit out of sync in the beginning of the game, and, you know, the Saints' defense just kind of dictated the game, and the Saints' special teams a little bit, and you know, it just does not look like San Francisco is ready to be an elite team. So, you know, in one sense you can say the defense did what they had to do, but, you know, I'm kind of waiting to see how the Saints play against some more elite offense this week in Houston with Matt Schaub. I mean, the Saints sacked San Francisco about six times in that game. They couldn't protect the quarterback off the edge. They couldn't protect him up the middle. And you can see the 49ers might have some offensive line issues. And part of that could be the Saints have improved on the defensive line. We're adding players like Sean Rogers and Abreu Franklin. Adding those big bodies kind of free up those guys off the edge a little bit too. So we'll have to I'm more curious to see how well we're going to do against Houston and a team with that, you know, has a better quarterback and as well as a better offensive game too.
Wow, sorry to hear about that, Dad. You know, obviously he's a big 49er fan, and the fact that they're not quite there, maybe they're, you hate to beat the dead horse, but Alex Smith, I do feel sorry for him because I think this is, maybe his sixth or seventh offense, so learning that he's got a new offensive coordinator, if you will, so he's still, I don't know. It is what it is. So I guess moving forward, let's talk about, and this is my last point, too, as far as some highlights, too. Didn't know if you had a chance to watch Cam Newton play versus the Giants. Didn't know if you had any feedback on him, if you will, because, you know, obviously this seems like it's more of an NFC South show today, but just any thoughts about how you thought he played and kind of how the future looks for the Carolina Panthers?
Well, I know I mentioned to you on yesterday that, I think the NFC South might be the best division in football right now, might be the toughest division. And I think for sure, we have two playoff teams in this division. And I would not be surprised if we even have three playoff teams in this division. But I think two for sure, and wouldn't be surprised if we have three. I think Carolina is going to be a team that is not going to be a cakewalk. From what I saw, Cam Newton played, you know, his percentage wasn't that great, 8 out of 19, but he made some nice throws in that game. And I think Carolina should already go ahead and give him the starting position. I don't know who they're fooling while making this a competition with Jimmy Clausen. From what I saw, I was impressed. And Carolina has a lot of weapons on that team. I mean, if you get a healthy Steve Smith, you got Greg Olsen, Jeremy Shockey, you got two tight ends you can throw the ball to. You got Steve Smith, you got a strong running game. If you get Jordan Gross, Ryan Khalil, and if those guys are healthy on the offensive line, they're not lacking for talent in Carolina. They were just lacking a quarterback last year. And maybe have some injury issues. Yeah, they're not lacking for talent on that team. Defensive line up the middle could be a little weak. You probably can run the ball on them. And their linebacking core is one of the best in the league. But other than Charles Johnson, the defensive line is probably not that great. And, you know, they got Chris Gamble in the secondary. I think they can get by with some smoke and mirrors on defense, but I think you can run the ball on that team, but I think they can run it at you too.
Yeah, sure.
And so with D'Angelo Williams and what's the other guy, Jonathan Stewart. Yeah. So I don't think they're going to be an easy out. I still were predicting to be last in the South, but I can easily see them going from one win to about five or six wins. And being a competitive team. I can see them being a competitive team, being in some games and losing, you know, some close games. But I don't think that's a team that teams are just going to be licking their chops to play. I mean, Cam Newton could run it. He can throw it. You got two running backs. You got tight ends. You got a receiver in Steve Smith. And Amante Edwards have been getting rave reviews in training camp. And so maybe he can step it up. And you got Brandon LaFell, two young guys that maybe can take that step and be that other receiver outside of Steve Smith.
Yeah. And like I said, we do apologize because, you know, folks listening to the show, you know, we have an affinity for the NFL and what we talk about, too. So time does fly always, but there's so much good information, and obviously good to hear Robert talk about some insight on things, too. Just to kind of echo that last thought about Cam Newton, too, because I was watching the game and just watching, you know, the offense under Jimmy Clausen. And like you said, you know, whenever you see Cam, it just – everyone seems to, you know, think this guy has, there's something about this guy, you know, as far as him being a winner. And you know, like you said, he made some good throws. A couple of throws that were dropped by some receivers. But, you know, definitely him in the game, even if he's not, you know, 100% polished, I mean, you just have the feeling this guy can make something happen. So, you know, as mentioned, yeah, they're not going to be a doormat anymore. And, you know, as Carolina fans, you know, you definitely want to watch this guy. I was watching Clausen. He throws an interception. I'm like, yeah, this is kind of the same old, too. So it's just interesting to see how and what's going to happen with Cam Newton, how he develops, obviously.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, some guys just have what's called the it factor. And it looked like Cam Newton might have the it factor. He has the it factor.
Yep, good deal. Let's see, we're going to talk real quick about some rookie cornerbacks that are going to make an impact, if you will. And obviously you can't start without talking about the first defensive back that was drafted, which is who is Patrick Peterson. LSU, you knew that was going to happen too. So let's get your take, Robert, on Mr. Patrick Peterson and kind of great pickup, you know, obviously who drafted him, Arizona, if you will. So, yeah, let's see how this plays out with that.
He's out of Arizona.
And
as of right now in training camp, he's still running with the second-team defense. But all indications are by the time the regular season comes around, he will be a starter at corner. But as of right now, he's running with the second-team defense, and he's fielding some punt and kickoff returns, just like he did at LSU. But I think all indications are that by the time regular season comes around, he'll be moved up to the first team defense and be a starter. But the guy's an outstanding athlete. He's about 6'1", 220, and can really fly at that size. I mean, he can almost be a safety at that size, but he will be a dynamic corner. I think I can go out on a limb and say he'll be a Pro Bowler. At some point, maybe not his rookie season, but by second or third year, I could really see him being a Pro Bowl cornerback in the NFL. And, you know, you can almost make a case that he might have the best athlete in the draft. And I think he'll definitely have an impact on both the return game for Arizona as well as being an elite corner as well. I tell you, another corner, even though he was the third corner in the draft, Jimmy Smith from Colorado, went 27 of Baltimore. He's 6'2", 211. And I think if this guy didn't have the off-the-field issues, I mean, this could be another guy that could have been a top 10 pick. And outstanding athlete. I think if, Ozzie Newsome and those guys, keep his head straight and everything, I think this guy's going to be an elite corner as well. He's got the size, he's got the twos, he's got the athletic ability. And the other guy I would talk about is Prince Amukamara from Nebraska. He went 19 of the Giants. Even though he went ahead of Jimmy Smith, I'm going to rank him as third corner. And plus, he's had a few injury issues, had a little bit of a training camp, so I think that might set him back a little bit. And, of course, I still think he's going to be a good player. But I think of the three, I would rank him the third, even though he was picked ahead of Jimmy Smith. And I don't know if there's any other corners you want to talk about or if the Falcons drafted any corners you may want to talk about as well, even if you're in a later round.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, Falcons, we were hoping that we would draft defense, but we got some defense in the form of free agency, but we got some young corners that we're trying to develop. And cornerback is a tough position, too, unless you've got pretty much a sure thing like a Patrick Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to kind of, you know, make that, you know, how the side's going to perform in the NFL, too. Because, like you said, when you're talking about, you know, Jimmy Smith, you know, big corner, 6'2". I mean, like you said, you know, so this guy, he's going to come in and fit right into that Baltimore defense, you know. So, you know, you got Ray Lewis, you got a good locker room that's going to, like, keep him in check. You know, another guy that I liked coming out pretty much, you know, I liked Marcus Gilchrist from Clemson just because I see a lot of him. I don't know how he's new in the league, you know, but I just thought he was going to be a good player. And surprisingly, a lot of those quarterbacks from Texas, you know, are going to do pretty well. Nate Basher stayed in the league a little while, too. So kind of curious to see how Aaron Williams develops playing for the Bills. They can use all the help they can get. But as mentioned, it's always sometimes a crapshoot getting those corners, too. So we'll see if anyone, you know, like I said, Patrick Peterson, no doubt he's going to definitely make an impact. And as you said, I mean, future Hall of Famer, one of the cleanest players in the draft, as we've heard from a lot of the experts. So we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to comment on a guy the Saints took in the third round, Johnny Patrick from Louisville, cornerback. Saw him play against the 49ers the other night and was really impressed with him running with the second defense. He got hurt in the third quarter, got a sprained knee. And so that was kind of a bummer because he was playing really well in the game, coming up, making tackles, and as well as in coverage skills. And Greg Williams made the comment about him that the reason why he was a third-round pick as opposed to a first-round pick is because he never went up and made tackles at Louisville.
Oh, wow.
So they're trying to get him to be a little bit more physical. They said he can cover, but he never would get physical and try to stop the run. But he played. He hurt his knee.
He
sprained his knee in the game.
I was going to say about Deion Sanders didn't have to cover either, but or didn't have to tackle. But go ahead.
Yeah. But Deion was an elite cover guy, though.
There you go. Go ahead.
But I think he's a guy the Saints are high on, and. He sprained his knee the other night in the latter part of the third quarter. I know he's not going to play this Saturday, but I know they hope to get him back real soon. But yeah, those are like the main corners that I kind of wanted to throw out there. And you know, of course, Patrick Peterson, Jimmy Smith are pretty obvious.
Yeah, good deal. Yeah, we always do a good job of going kind of above and beyond, and going a little bit deeper as far as getting players. You know, well, at this juncture, the show is kind of almost ending here, and we always seem to talk and make good progress here. Let's skip to the SEC and ACC stuff. And just real quick, we probably only have a minute left to really talk about this, about a minute 40 or so. Your thoughts about Miami and kind of what's going on with college football. And, you know, somebody talk about a good point in that and the way college football should do, they should not punish the program, but punish the players, if you will, and the booster.
Uh-huh.
So basically, let's say that, you know, Evan Shapiro, he had some trouble with a certain amount of players, which I think is a good idea. You should punish those players. Like, don't punish the whole school for having a problem. Like I said, let's say that, you know, if there's a problem with Antrell Roll, sometimes that's you see that there's a problem, suspend the player for a year, or something like that, or maybe even, you know, as we talked about going into the supplemental draft, maybe suspend that player, you know, for a couple of games too, so that, you know, it's not less like this guy gets away from, gets away from what he did. So real quick, anything you want to mention about that before we wrap up the show?
Well, I mean, it's disappointing, and you're starting to see a lot of big-name programs getting some kind of trouble. And, you know, I hate to say this, but I think every major football program in the country is doing some form of cheating. To what extreme? And, you know, to what extreme, you know, I don't know. And I don't know, you know, what's the best way to go about policing this. But, I mean, it just seems like it's starting to get out of control right now. And it's got so many elements of media today. So, you know, back in the days, I think they were able to hide a lot of this stuff a little bit better. And, but now, man, you got the Internet, you got Twitter, you got Facebook. I mean, there's all kind of information that can come out. And you can't really hide a lot of this stuff. And you see Miami, you see USC, you see Ohio State. I mean, three major historical programs, you know, getting, you know, facing some major penalties.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, and even schools in the SEC, they may not be getting major penalties, but they're getting little nicks. I mean, Alabama got a nick a few years ago. I mean, LSU just got a little nick. You know, Tennessee has gotten some little licks and nicks. And, you know, so, I mean, a lot of these programs are, I mean, Georgia even has got, you know, a few little licks. And
yeah.
Even Georgia Tech, I believe, just recently, huh?
The only thing I'd say about that is that I think you gotta let the punishment fit the crime. I mean, you know, Ohio State, we're still waiting to see what goes on with them. You know, I'm not talking death penalty, but you gotta be equal from what I hear.
Yeah. But Ohio State, the big three is Ohio State, USC, and Miami. If those are all true, those are major violations. I mean, like I said, the other schools I just named were just got some little nicks here and there, but nothing major. I mean, USC is serving their penalty as we speak. I mean, Ohio State could be major. Miami could be extremely major. Man, if some of this stuff is true, they're even talking about death penalty possibly.
Wow, yeah.
Which is unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and if you're Al Golden, do you just say, hey, I'm out of this, you know, I don't want this job anymore, or do you kind of try to stick it out and say, hey, you know?
Well, I mean, I'm sure he's getting a nice salary, and, you know, and I know it may be a slight headache and a slight distraction, but I think if you're a good football coach, you can prove that you can win even with these kind of distractions. And plus, there's none of this has been proven to be true yet. And so I don't think he should just run away or walk away that easily. I think, you know, he should try to stick it out and kind of let everything play itself out first. And that's my guess of what he would do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's always interesting to see how everything plays out too. And like you said, I think there are definitely violations going on. And not to say that, you know, all of college football is clean and you know, until we figure out a way to either play players or figure out another option. I mean, we're going to be always talking about this issue and what's going to happen for years to come. But, wow, once again, time is flying, and one day, I think 30 minutes is good. Maybe we'll get the hour. We'll see if we can fit everything in. But as always, I want to we always do a good job. We always get on our little tangent, and we have so much to talk about. But as mentioned, you know, hopefully we'll get some guests on the line. Moving forward as the show starts to grow and develop. And we were going to talk about some good things next week, obviously, and I appreciate everyone's patience since I was out on vacation and kind of getting back in the swing of things, and we'll probably do it at our regular show time on Wednesday. But anything else you want to say, Rob, as we wrap up another episode of Talking Sports with 12th Man?
People, it's football season. Let's get excited. Fantasy
football
draft.
Football season is upon us. Oh, yeah.
Join us next week. Talk some more. We'll recap week two of the preseason and maybe look at some rookie safeties and see if we can eventually get to some predictions here real soon.
Yeah, we'll make that happen probably right at the close of a preseason or whatnot, too. But as mentioned, I want to thank everyone for coming in, and we appreciate you listening. Your comments, tweets, we'll have that out as well. Other than that, thanks, guys, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Good night, people.
Good night. Another good show, Rob Ford.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't sleepy tonight, so I was animated.
Oh, man. That's good.
Another one of them nights, man. I was struggling.
Yeah, I mean, but it kind of flew by, though, didn't it, if I'm not mistaken?
They all do. It all goes by fast.
Yeah, I know you kind of like thinking thoughts too. If you ever, you got to have like a raise hand button or something like that. Say, hey, Andre, you know, answer some more questions or whatever, so that way you're not as like you feel like you have to like carry the show or anything like that, because you always have good insight and whatnot too. So, you know, It's always a pleasure to hear your hear a little.
I think what I should start doing now that we're starting to get the hang of this a little bit, maybe that's just the day of the show, man. Put up like a post on Facebook. Tune in to our show and call us.
Yeah, not a bad idea. Yeah, that's a great idea, actually. And like I said, too, we'll make it, too, because right now we're kind of just, kind of getting the kinks out and kind of figuring out the best way how to do everything, too. I love your ringtone.
Oh, that's just ESPN giving me an update on the Yankee score.
Okay. Good deal. Yeah, like I said, like you said, we kind of have the little system down too. So as we get better at it, I think we'll be more polished. And definitely me, as I kind of like figure out what direction to go and certain questions to ask, and vice versa too. So
Oh yeah.
It's good.
Oh yeah.
All right. Good deal,
gotta
sir.
Gotta make it do
like
what it
said,
do, babe.
Make it do what it do, man. You talked to Wayne yet, or how's everything going in his world, or what?
Wayne must be out of town, because I haven't heard from him about a week or so. I don't know if he's out of the country or what.
Oh, wow, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I was just curious to see if everything's going good in his world. I was just checking in.
Yeah. But I know. I mean, you're doing good, but I mean, normally I hear from him a couple of times a week, but he must be out of the country or something.
Gotcha. Okay, good deal.
Which
okay,
he has to travel out of town, out of the country for business from time to time.
Okay. Yeah. Good deal. Yeah, like I said, no worries. I was just checking to see if everything is good. Yeah, like I said, it is what it is, man.
No problem, Doc.
All right, man. Well, have a good rest of the evening, and like I said, we'll definitely be in touch soon.
Okay. All right, Doc.
All right, sir. Have a good one. All right, bye.
Okay.